Welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast. Round two for myself here, because last time I blew
I don't really count. I don't really count that as a round two.
No, not really.
I mean, round two is like you go like five minutes in and you're just like, damn, it's awful.
Yeah, we've done a terrible thing. So, lots to talk about, man.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start.
The table. Let's start with the table.
We did. I love it. You did right.
We are the knights of the MMA round table.
Yeah, you're the knight. I'm just the jester.
IKEA.
But this is a table for jesters as well.
You want to know a super funny thing about IKEA, though? Chelsea's dad, who's from the South and a good old boy, has never heard of IKEA.
I think it's IKEA down there.
IKEA. Why would I want? Why would I want something from IKEA?
IKEA. Italian.
Speaking of great Brad Pitt films, we have a Periwinkle Drive down the street from here.
Nice.
And I wanted to take a picture and say, I want a Periwinkle Blue.
You should get a caravan and drive it down it, and then I'll do it.
Yes, I should.
To do it.
So what do you want to say? Let's start with the card. Can we talk about me being right about
No, I don't want to.
I am so smart.
And no, it's legit. Straight up. I picked the wrong year to start an MMA podcast. I used to be right a lot. Like, I wouldn't say, like, I'm more than anybody else necessarily, like, analysts and stuff like that. But I had a pretty good record of seeing some good underdogs coming through. It was okay.
Are you the new Chael Sonnen?
I'm the worst now.
We just pick against you and we're going to win?
I'm just taking L's all year long.
And D's.
And all year long in the D's.
D's.
Like, He's just nuts. Wrong about everything. Except for that Bisbing's a dick. I'm right about that.
Yeah. How about that? Did you watch the post-fight press conference?
Yep.
Did you see him come out with his beers?
Yes, I did.
So
did you hear the flag they did? We were talking about it. Yeah. They didn't let him because it was – that's so stupid, man. Like,
when
come on. Like,
that big of a
– he's a company guy, you know? And I understand that if you let him, like, you're starting to open the door. I don't care. Do it. It's like, you really have a problem with him bringing out his flag, especially with tweets on it. It was more sentimental than anything. Shut the hell up.
And I'm pretty sure it didn't go as bad as any of the tweets, say, for, like, the New England Patriots or who was the other company that did a tweet, like, contest where, like, hey, you tweeted us and we'll...
Well, even still, you couldn't see it even if it was offensive.
Yeah. Solid point.
Like, you couldn't, like, that. No, like, even on the show, like, you couldn't zoom in and see the tweets because they were so fine. Like, they were, it was for him, and it just looked like, what do they call that flag? I'm not going to remember.
Oh, yeah, what is, it's not the Stars and Bars, I can tell you that. It might have been with the comment he made later on that night. Freaking, it's not the first time. So, for those that don't know, after all of this happened, there, for some random
Union
reason.
Union
Jack, that's what it
is.
Sorry. So, no, I'm glad you looked it up. So, after this, I had no idea this happened. Carson actually sent it to me this morning, where after the press conference, they're taking pictures for some reason. I don't know why they're still around each other. And these dudes start jawing at each other.
Rockhold just wanted out of there, and he was leaving. I don't know why he didn't go the other way, though. But then Bisbing went to go stop him and tried to shake his hand.
Again?
Shake his hand.
Well, after he doesn't shake your hand like five times, I'm pretty sure he's not going to.
Yeah.
Like, so here's the deal. I like Bisbing. I've been on the Bisbing train for a while because he is a dick. However, there's two sides of this coin, and there's a lot of people that are like, oh, Rockhold's a jackass, like, cocky hold, he's just being a jerk. And it's like, no. He's arrogant, and he lost. He's not going to say much. He showed up, which is more than Ronda Rousey did. He said his piece, and he wanted to get out of there, which I completely understand. He lost. He overextended. He lost in the first round, and he looked bad. He looked over-arrogant in the ring. He looked over-arrogant in the press conferences. And
the post-fight, the immediate post-fight where he said it was beautiful.
Yeah, where his arm was over the cage.
Putting out the vibes.
Yeah. He was going to get laid that night. Even if he lost, he was putting it out there. Laying it all on the line.
Yeah, 100.
I made the joke.
100.
I wanted to splice him in with Chris Evans, Captain America. With the helicopter, where he could be holding onto the octagon in a helicopter. And people joked about Bisbing looking bad. Like, oh yeah, he said he was in shape 2 weeks out, because I mean,
old pillow hands proved me wrong.
Yeah, you were 100% incorrect about all of it. That's all. So
except for him being a dick.
And then he did. He actually was. I mean, he did come out when he points at him and says "F you." And then later on that night, the fact is Bisping's already. So he actually said the word. He dropped the word faggot. This is not the first time it's happened. That's it. I mean, Donald Cerrone has, like, to the point where in 2013, Dana White actually had to come out and be like, people that are watching this probably think that we're homophobic. We're not homophobic. And I'm sure in the UFC and in MMA, with such a wide range of people, I'm sure that there's a ton of homophobic people in the UFC, because you either, I feel like there's two types of fighters, the intelligent fighters that rise to the top, and the trashy fighters that are probably pretty ignorant and backwards thinking that are still probably kind of maybe not racist, but misogynistic, sexist. Look at a lot of the MMA fan tweets and different things like that, how quickly they turn on.
That's
MMA
just
media.
That's representative of, because we're on the internet all the time. That's representative of the internet, not MMA fans. Because if you actually pulled that shit with a whole bunch of like MMA people in the room, like not saying faggot, like that's not what I'm talking about, but like actual, because he immediately was like, damn it, shouldn't have said that.
And
like,
then the media told him there were no cameras around. Don't worry, there's no cameras around.
That's, no, you're wrong. There's always cameras, especially if you're just got in a fight with Luke Rockhold.
Well, not everyone immediately wrote it down anyway.
Yeah, well, and that's, and I'm saying if there was an actual, like, if you were among all of them and somebody, like, made an actual comment and threatened a gay individual, I don't think that some people saying faggot in a heated moment, or the MMA fans that we interact with on Twitter, are representative of the sport. They're representative of the internet, and that's it.
Let's talk real life for a second. We actually have, I have a gay friend. No, so
one?
Yeah. And I also have a black dog, you know? So it's fine. He's a black lab. He's fine. But no, so Pride weekend is this weekend here in Salt Lake. There's a lot of people downtown. One of our really good friends came out of the closet probably 3 or 4 years ago. It's very religious. You know, he comes from a very religious background. Apparently, he just went out to eat, and it was at a local restaurant. And the way that he seems to have put it or shared it on Facebook, so obviously not everything can get out there, I haven't talked to him about this yet, was that they were straight people, as he put it, celebrating Pride in the restaurant, and something ended up happening where one of the people ended up choking him out in the parking lot.
Wait, you said straight people were?
Yeah.
With him?
No, two different groups of people in the same restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did he get choked out if they were both celebrating?
Exactly. That's where the vagueness comes in. So I don't know if he instigated, like, hey, man, quit trying to take our holiday away from us because this is our thing. I don't know. He's an interesting dude.
Listen, if you get a parade down the street, it's no longer our thing.
Yeah.
It's everybody's.
And it should be everybody's. It should be anyone that wants to be there to support. And that's what it is. And I don't – he's not that kind of guy. That's why the way that it was put was a little weird. However, it ended up with him getting choked out in a parking lot. And he's a big dude. He's bigger than me. He's a burly – like, he's a bear is what they refer to them as in the gay community. And that's what that is actual sexism. That is things against the LGBT community.
You forgot some letters in that.
LGBT.
AACIP or something like that.
There's more now?
Yeah, because of the transgender problem.
I apologize for all of the people.
You're going to have to learn them.
I am going to have to learn them. So anyway, there's a difference between saying something and there's a difference between actions. And obviously words and actions are two different things. Carson and I are very much like, say whatever you want. You have a freedom of speech. We don't necessarily care. It's when you act upon something like that and you hurt somebody else or hurt a community of other people where that's when it becomes incorrect. We come from the generation where that was used on a daily basis.
Well, my problem is with the whole thing, and I mean, obviously we didn't plan on getting into this that much, but my whole problem is I'm okay with you pretty much being able to say whatever you want as long as you're not doing an immediate call to action. Or saying,
and if the consequences are you getting punched in the face,
yeah.
You
well, and the
consequences
other
of getting
the other one is also saying you'll pay someone's lawyer's fees if you get into an altercation and stuff like it's stupid. But at the same time, as a fan base, like we have to be prudent and not. Yeah. You've got to be careful. And he didn't mean it like that. And he felt bad immediately. And I'm pretty sure we're going to get an apology, and he'll probably get fined.
But the champion.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it doesn't. It could be anybody, but it's a bigger deal. People are gunning for MMA. One of the funniest, most ironic parts about this is the New York federal court or whatever that everything just passed through. We're trying to point out that MMA led to homosexual acts, right?
And nice.
Like pedophilia. So maybe it is.
Rome.
Maybe that's where it's going.
They got sexy time.
They did.
Got naked wrestling.
Boy servants and different things.
Like it. Liked it on Facebook. I didn't. I don't know where you'd find that. I'm not on Facebook. But, no, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's, hopefully it'll just get swept under the rug in that it will be talked about for until probably like Tuesday. He'll get fined. He'll apologize, which is probably what should happen at this point, and we'll be done with it. But please know that I do not think that's representative of our sport. I've interacted with so many people in person. I've been to live events. I've never really even heard anybody say that in a live event. I've never seen anybody threatened. Again, I think if something were to happen in an event like that, the exact opposite would happen. There'd be a lot of white knights that come to the aid of said person, right?
Yeah, especially in a fight community where most people know at least how to defend themselves in some kind of MMA background. Not that I am condoning this by any means, and I don't want anyone to think that. However, having lived in Europe for about 9 months, going out to London and different things like that, there's a completely different way of speaking. Being around even, say, religious people out in that area where they would say the word bitch or I can't believe he's bitching or she's being a bitch or whatever it is, it's seen as a completely different meaning. It's like, oh, she just complains a lot. And it's not... That word, of course, has been around for about the same amount of time and different things like that. But like when they say, I was just taking a piss instead of like, I'm just messing with you. Like there's a whole different way of communicating out there. And once again, I'm not condoning it. However, cultural norms and cultural wording and cultural everything is completely different. And if we really want to get into it, I'm guessing a lot of MMA fans watch South Park and they have the whole episode where it's not a racist or a sexist word. It's a word that's used for another meaning.
Well, it's like it's like the Louis C.K. one, which is my favorite bit in the world. He's like, I would never call a gay guy a faggot. That's not what it means. It means that you're being a... And then he just goes, I would never call a gay guy that unless he was acting like one. Like if I came in and he says, people from Phoenix are Phoenicians. That's the thing, is taking the power out of the word. Again, I think it's a non-issue. Fine him. He'll apologize. And let's just move on from it.
He's very lucky that all of the things are happening with Ariel Helwani.
No, it still would have been the same thing. It would have been the same thing.
Because when he did it before, it was a big thing that he had to come out and publicly apologize for. When Kobe Bryant did it, it was a huge thing that he had to come out and apologize for. When Donald Cerrone did it, it was a huge thing that he had... like. It's one of those things that it can't be. It has to be a public of enough apology that people are like,
okay. Oh, yeah, it's going to be. But let's make sure that it's not just an obligated apology. Like, just let him do it. But, I mean, of course
it's going to be an obligated apology.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's just, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's a non-factor. Regardless, it would have played out the same way. It might have been story. It might have been news for a little bit longer. But it's not news.
It doesn't make sense to me how someone can say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I will literally kill you. But if you drop a word like that, you're in trouble. Like, and yes, understand appropriation, history, different things like that. But there, if you just go word for word, them dropping the F-bomb and saying that they're going to kill people is a lot worse than that one word. I mean, obviously now if they would have dropped the N-word, it would like... he'd be done. So eventually, you know,
Think he would. Riley Cooper's not done.
I don't know the reference.
Riley Cooper, the guy from the Eagles that was at like a concert and started saying the N-word and yelling at people. And
was it a Kanye show?
I don't know. No. But he was, yeah. And I mean, it was taken on a video on a camera and he's still around. Like I think we're to a place.
What happened to Cosmo Kramer? He said the same thing and he got
Well, his was a mental breakdown too. Like
yes, that's true. We really got into this.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
I meant to. It's a great conversation to have.
Well,
communication across the sport. If you are a representative of your sport, Kobe Bryant, Michael Bisping, Brock Lesnar, whoever you are, Dana White, whoever you are, you have to be careful of everything that you say. I mean, even Conor McGregor, they tried to get him for saying fajita, calling Nick Diaz a fajita. You know what I mean? And I guarantee if he wasn't on camera, he probably would have said much worse things to him. Maybe not racist things, but he would have said much worse things to him.
And that's the thing is, like, it's pretty much out of my vocabulary. I've never used it in that sense. I've used it a lot, but I've never used it in that sense where I was calling
generational
a gay individual that. But because of essentially the PC police putting it to gay people, like, no, this word is used to describe them in a demeaning way. I now have to take it out of my vocabulary, which I'm not missing it. I have other words.
Institute a douche.
Yeah. Like
douche
it's
taken. Oh, you're being a douche.
Yeah. Like in, so I mean, it's like, again, you just have to practice, like you don't need it. It's not a word that you need. It didn't drive the point home anymore. I just think, again, that it's essentially a non-story. Like, it'll blow over. You're probably right in the sense that it'll blow over a lot quicker because of everything else that's happened.
Yeah. There's so many things that happened on that card.
It was crazy, man.
So many things. So let's get into the card real quick. What was your favorite fight on the card?
I only saw two. Well, three, I guess, technically, if you count the Dan Henderson one. I had to go to a wedding. People were saying it was the best card ever. Well, you might have had the best card ever, and then you just destroyed it with this whole Ariel Helwani fiasco.
The main card was really good. Going back, the Jessica versus Jessica fight wasn't that good. Darush versus Vic, that's one of those that didn't surprise me, but it was very weird to me that everyone picked Vic, probably because Darush had just lost to Chiesa, and is not very vocal, where James Vick is seen on Twitter, he's seen on podcasts, like he's a pretty open guy. He's seen openly in a lot of the MMA community places, and I think people like him. And so Darush was coming off a loss. James Vick apparently was undefeated, which I didn't know because he lost on The Ultimate Fighter, so I didn't see him in my mind as undefeated. And he got crushed. And I've never been that impressed with Vick. Like I said, he seems like a really nice guy. He's from the South, seems, you know, decently nice. However, it's one of those things that I've never been that impressed with him as a fighter, and I didn't pick him to win this, where a lot of people did. Apparently, Bruce Leroy did really, really well, missed that fight.
I don't like him.
He's
like, ever since the show, but I for some reason, I want him to do good.
Yeah,
like, I want him to be, he's a personality I want around. Because he is a personality, I guess. I guess that's the thing.
The hair and the nickname and the karate. I agree with that. I would never like to see him beat one of my favorite fighters, but I would like to see him do well.
No, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. It's kind of like a Bisping thing. Like, you want him in the sport. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch the next Bisping fight because I want to see him get Dan Henderson again. Like, you know, it's like, I will be there for that fight. You need people like that. Yeah. I have no problem with not liking Bisping, because if it was everybody that I just liked, like, I was more interested in the Western Conference Finals than the finals of the NBA because I hated Enes Kanter so much.
It was, you just wanted him to lose so bad.
I was at the anybody but Kanter train. So, like, and you need people like that, and I would like him to be around, and I want Bisping to be around. But
he's
good.
He's going to retire, so.
Yeah.
People are saying that he should fight Henderson, Bisping Henderson too.
That'd be dope.
Before Henderson retires.
That'd be dope.
That fight. The Henderson fight was reminiscent of, I don't even know, maybe the Brian Stann, Wanderlei Silva, where at first they weren't striking and then they just went all out. Somehow Henderson survives to the second round, and if we've learned anything about Lombard, he's going to throw himself out in the first, then he's going to have a second. However, the last thing I expected from Henderson, he threw one head kick, and he looked like he could barely get his leg up to the freaking, to the neck of Hector. And then
Hector's short.
Yeah. The first one looked awful. It looked like it looked better than if I was throwing a leg kick, but it looked reminiscent, or it looked similar to me trying to throw a head kick, where I could get it to your head, but it's not pretty and it takes a huge effort. And then clipped him with it. I think Hector tried to take him down. No. He clipped him with it, moved him to the side, and then threw a back elbow, which I never expected from Dan Henderson, and it was lights out. Fell down, didn't move, and of course, classic Henderson, he gets him three or four times more before the judge actually, or before the ref actually takes him off. Lombard didn't get up for like 3 minutes. I mean, it was kind of scary. And so, did you see the TMZ video?
Mm-mm. I don't watch TMZ. If I see that it has a TMZ drop on it, done.
Let it be known. I didn't actually watch it either for the TMZ aspect, but the link clickbait was Henderson says he's really happy, says he knows what he's going to be eating tonight, and then it said something about his wife. Like, yeah. So basically, the point was is he was going to end up going down on his wife later.
Cool.
Well, the best part was is it showed him like outside, like on like almost like on a Vegas strip, like. And his kids and his wife are next to him, and his wife's got this face like, and so I don't know if that's when he said it, but it's not, he's not the kind of dude that I can imagine him saying that in front of all of his children, and maybe, but
I don't know. I
but I didn't watch it. So if he did, that's kind of funny. But if he said it in front of all of his children, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Max Holloway, Ricardo Lamas. Anyway, sorry.
Max Holloway won, right?
Yes. That's a great. Oh, you missed it.
I did.
Oh my goodness! You got to go back and watch that one. So there was times when Holloway actually caught Lamas. Lamas was back against the fence and started to counterpunch and started to actually catch Holloway to the point where he almost dropped him. And so Holloway actually had to stop being so aggressive because Lamas almost knocked him out.
I don't want to see Holloway fight for the title necessarily. I feel I've never been convinced by him, which is unfair to him. But at this point, you can't go in a row.
He's looked good lately.
You can't go 9 in a row and not get a title fight. That's not a. I know Chael Sonnen loves to say that you don't earn anything, that like nothing can be earned or something like. But no, there is a certain point. Yeah. 9 in a row. It's crazy.
He's looked good, and he looked good in that fight. Ricardo Lamas, obviously, he's number 5. He's not a bum by any means. Mm-mm. He did really well.
He was one fight away from a title fight not too long ago.
And so I would, if it were me, you have 200. You've got Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar. If that goes quickly, because you know it'll be 2 months later, Max Holloway should be healed up. He just got some cuts and bruises. If Conor is not ready to come back after 202, you strip him of the belt, and then you have Holloway fight for the belt. Against Jose Aldo or Frankie Edgar. It would be technically the interim belt.
Well, not if you strip him.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
So it would not be the interim belt. It would be the actual belt.
Yeah, so after 202, if McGregor can't come back within the next 4 to 6 months, you just strip it, put him at 155, give him an immediate title shot, and just fix it like that.
Great.
I don't think
now
they'll
we
ever
get,
strip him.
We get that belt tied up for even longer because he couldn't make a press conference.
Cool.
And he had to have that fight. Awesome. We all got the fight we wanted.
I wonder how much Nate Diaz is going to make getting right into that.
You see the Stockton slap on Dana? He slapped him right in the face.
Did he allow it? Did Dana
yeah, yeah,
was
coming? They were filming it. He slapped him like right here too.
Yeah,
but
it was the top of the head is what it looked like in the picture.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. But that's good on Dana.
He's riding bulls now.
I wonder if that was part of the contract.
I'll slap you, bitch.
That's what
I'll take less, but I'm going to slap you, bitch.
Like, I want $1 million, and I get to slap you in the face in front of everyone. Hey, Nate Diaz is a good friend of Ariel Helwani, so maybe Nate Diaz will cause some issues there, too, and be like, hey, man, bring Ariel back. Free Ariel.
Before we get into the Ariel, do you want to just touch on Cruz Faber?
Not really. Most likely everyone here saw it. Dominic Cruz looked dominant.
Well, I meant more the post-fight. The whole post fight was actually it was incoherent in a lot of ways.
I didn't like Cruz and Ned post fight.
Me either. That's the thing. I didn't like Bisping either. Like
I didn't like Bisping either.
Nobody
I
was,
did it first, and then I got irritated.
Well, this is the thing is like I'm fine with everything that he was saying, except for like I just get bugged when people don't listen to other people. So like they asked him a question, and this happened on two different occasions with both of them. They said to Rockhold like. They're asking him a question, and he says, you know what, I've been working my jab. I don't usually commit to my jab that much. I made a mistake. If I'm doing my game, he can't hang with me. And then he just immediately came. He's like, I can't hang with you. I just knocked you out. And he's like, he's trying to explain how you knocked him out. Like, I understand you feel like you could hang
but
with
excuses
him.
Excuses after someone knocked
no,
him out.
No, I know. But he's like, but it's still like you're meeting on like, a different field. Like, it's, he's saying that you brought him out of his game and you won, but if you, and so just say, I knocked you out. Like, that's what he's trying to say.
If he wouldn't have overcommitted to the jab, he wouldn't have been.
I think Luke's wrong, to be fair. But, like, it just bugs me when people don't listen. And then the same thing.
See, but I understood that. I understood completely. That's like if we were to fight and you were to knock me out. And I'd be like, but if we were to do it again, it wouldn't work like that. And it's like, yeah, because now you know I'm going to throw that left instead of my right hand.
Well, no.
And you can.
But the thing is, and what Bisping should have done, and he did later, but like on that one, he should have countered it with, and this is, I think, a better argument. No, we were watching film on him. He always drops his right every time. Mm-hmm. Every time he drops his right.
And
so
he did.
It comes a left hook. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So instead of saying,
toot, toot.
Like, instead of just making sure to get in, I just knocked you out, like, make a coherent argument. It's like, no, we saw that you drop your right on everything that you do. I countered it with a left because my boxing is better than yours.
My biggest irritation is anyone that picks up their belt and points to it. That drives me nuts. So Bisbing, Cruz has done it. DC may have done it. I don't know. John Jones has done it. Like, anyone that picks up their belt and points to it.
It's a trump card.
Yeah, it is. But
you win. Like, at the end of the day, it's like rappers that are like, no, lyrically, you're not as good as me. I'm better than you. Like, I'm Talib Kweli. I'm Jay-Z. I have more money.
Yeah.
I got the gold.
Even though Jay-Z said he'd lyrically rather be Talib Kweli.
I know. That's the thing. But would you rather be overpaid or underrated? You know? So this is my problem with the Cruz Faber thing. Is somebody asked him a legitimate question. They were like, do you think that you could bury the hatchet after all these years? And then Faber was like, you know, yeah, I could. Like, it seems like we bury the hatchet every so often. And then the next day we're back on. And then he's like, yeah, Cruz is fine. And then Cruz immediately just went back to the thing that they had got done talking about about the fighters getting paid. And he just kept going in on Faber. And it's like, bro, you guys aren't ever going to fight again. He was
just let it go.
He was extending an olive branch. Like,
I said, it seemed like he wanted to take his ball and go home.
Yeah.
Like, this is my ball. I'm going to take it and I'm going to go home. The one thing that irritated me, well, two things. His whole attitude irritated me, and I don't know why it was like that. You figure someone that had just won a fight, a title fight, that dominantly would be happy, and he wasn't. I don't know what was going on, what's going on in his life. Who knows? But contrast him and Bisping. Bisping, who's on cloud nine, and even though he's being a dick,
drinking,
as happy as he could be. And then you look at Dominic Cruz, who just won a world title. It says like this: I'm just, you know, I thought my career was over. I'm just so happy to be back and to be able to fight. This doing this is the greatest.
He's Orin off of Parks and Rec.
Yeah, it's like Dominic.
Hello, Leslie.
Just show some person. I mean, he has personality. He does. And I don't know what it was then. And the biggest thing, the hardest part for me that I understood and I agreed with him with was when he was saying Uriah Faber manages these guys. The better they do, the more he gets paid. And I don't think Uriah Faber is that type of guy. However, I understand that jab. Because TJ Dillashaw was like, you know what? I could go somewhere else and not have to pay Team Alpha Male and keep 90% of my money.
It's fine. Just stop hanging on it. Like, the question wasn't geared towards that at all.
He's pushing Cody No Love.
Not on that question. They had already fleshed that out. This is all the way towards the end of the press conference.
But he brought him up again. He was like, there's a new guy coming through. Cody. Cody's coming up. You gotta watch out for him.
In that same question?
In the same press conference.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they had fleshed that. Like, that was already handled.
At the beginning of the press conference. Yeah.
And they had already jabbed and then came back and forth. And I thought Cruz was on point saying that and then him pushing his guys. And then, like, they asked him, would you guys ever be able to extend an olive branch? And Faber essentially said, we've had highs, we've had lows. I really don't have that big of a problem with him.
We have a lot of media.
And then it gets taken back over to Cruz. And Cruz is like, it's funny listening to that. Yeah, we have had a lot of highs and lows. This guy's taking money from his fighters. Yeah. And it's like, that's not what? Why? It's just incoherent. The whole thing was incoherent.
From what I understand, him and TJ now have a pretty good relationship. It's Cruz and TJ.
But why say that there? That still doesn't excuse why I say that there. Like,
maybe because he's trying to back up TJ. Like, TJ left Alpha Male because he wanted that 30%.
He didn't say TJ's name once, though.
I understand, but maybe he was implying it. And the hard part is good luck trying to be friends with TJ. You're going to have to fight him again.
Well, and that's
not smart. And TJ said that he wanted Faber to win.
Well, I don't think they're friends. I don't think that's a thing. But
enemy of my enemy is my friend.
My thing is the whole thing was just incoherent. Regardless of what he was trying to do, it's like, why aren't you answering the question? That press conference should have been over like 20 minutes earlier. And I understand they have a certain length that they have to go. But there were so many people that just didn't want to be there at all. I'm pretty sure Dan Henderson didn't want to be there. Bisping did. Rockhold didn't.
Yeah.
Cruz didn't. Faber didn't. You know, it was...
Guida wasn't, but I mean, he lost. He might not have been invited. That fight as well, Brian Ortega, Clay Guida. Everyone on Twitter was 100% incorrect. Everyone was saying, Ortega, you have the better BJJ. Go to the ground. Clay Guida tried to take him down 3 times. Ortega stuffed it all 3 times. Guida was winning in the striking until the last 30 seconds of the fight. Basically, Ortega rope-a-doped him. He just took it. He just stayed in there with him. Guida started to slow down, but like slow down for Guida, right? Who's I didn't think he was going to gas, and he didn't. And then Ortega just turned it on and just went at him, hands and knees and everything, and eventually caught him with a knee and dropped him. And it was everyone on Twitter was like, apparently I was wrong. But the guy running the Bloody Elbow account, I don't know who it was like, apparently I was completely incorrect. I had to come out and be like, apparently I was completely incorrect. His game plan worked 100%. And he said in the press conference, you know, looking at him, looking back, you know, I did hold him to too high of a regard. This is a guy I've been watching my entire life. I really respect Clay Guida. But he proved everyone wrong because everyone thought he was just going to stand there and get beat in the striking. And he just turned it on in the last 30 seconds and crushed Guida. Just crushed him.
What else we have? We have Nate Connor 2, official.
Official.
202. August 20th.
8:20, yep.
And then we have official.
Is it in Vegas? I didn't see.
I don't know.
I don't think they've announced the arena yet, huh?
I'm pretty sure they have it on that, on 202. They probably have it already. August? They should have August by now.
Yeah, just because you had to have already put a deposit down on something.
Is that the fight we all wanted? Is that what we want? We got
I just
it?
Want it to be over now.
Yeah.
Honestly, I want Nate to win. The more I listen to Nate talk and the more I listen to Nate be like, hey, I'm going to make a lot of money off of this. They keep coming and I keep telling them I want more money.
I just hate when Dana, like every chance he gets to badmouth somebody because he was like, oh, I just hate when we have a deal set up and it falls through and then we come back to
Starbucks cold brew coffee now with house made vanilla sweet cream.
Of course they do. It's different.
Smooth meat sweet. In stores now, only at Starbucks.
You want more than I do. You have to pay me more. That's what it is.
What do you make of the fact that it fell through for UFC 200, but it's going to happen just, what, 6 weeks later in August?
Yeah, so I love it. I don't understand totally why it did fall through for 200, but let's just fast forward to where we're at. August 20th, 202, to your point. It's coming up now. McGregor demanded this rematch. He lost the first one. He said, I want to try it again. Give me another.
And the Fertitta brothers really wanted one, and they've built that, like, they're building a football stadium for MMA.
Chill the Jobber. Did you hear that one? They're not going to do it, guys. You're going to be one of 32 football coaches or one owner of the UFC.
You can do both. They have the arena for both.
I agree.
But I'm not excited for that fight at all. But I mean, I am. I guess not as much as the MMA world is. Again, I never wanted it. I never wanted the rematch. I never wanted that fight necessarily. And then we got it all of a sudden, and there was some great banter. We're not going to get the banter this time. Connor's not going to really talk.
2 months. Oh, yeah, no, the banter's going to be great.
You think Connor's going to talk that much? He hasn't said shit since the last one.
Well, maybe as well. He's going to be like, he has a trump card.
He doesn't really, though. He's not one to push it forward. If he's asked a question, he'll say something about it, but he's not going to go at Connor. Not like Connor would Nate.
I think they're actually bigger friends than anyone knows that they are.
They're not friends at all. Think about who the Diaz brothers consider friends. Like,
yeah,
and they
point.
Don't fight their friends. Like, that's they're not a, friends.
A, yeah, no, I don't mean friends.
But he's not.
I mean, like, Uriah Faber, Conor McGregor.
Well, I just
they
I don't
like each other. They're
I just
friends.
I just don't see them going at each other at all. Like, I'm not. Do you? I just unless Nate is like
they have to.
No, they don't. It's hyped now.
I guess.
Like, they did it. Like, that fight is hyped all on its own. It's a train that's moving forward regardless. And Connor needs to get a win under his belt. And he's going to go right back to talking. He's going to call everybody at 145 pussies ever since he's been gone. That everybody's been talking ever since he... And then He's going to go back down to 145, I feel like, and then he's going to go back up to 155, and we'll probably never see him at 170 again until we have some mega fights when he's in his 30s.
It would be weird if he just kept his head down and fought like he did when he first got into the UFC. And I don't think he can anymore.
Oh, he's going to be asked questions, and he's going to answer them, but he's not going to be taking over a press conference calling Red Panty Night.
Grabbing
and,
people's belts off
yeah,
the table.
That's not happening. Well, because nobody will have a belt
well,
for
I know
it.
That, but yeah, in theory. The Conor belt.
The Conor, but it doesn't Conor exist. Belt. I want to see it. I want to see that belt, and I want him to give it to Nate and then take it back.
Yeah.
That'd be so awesome. Can you imagine?
Let's do it. Let's
if,
call
like,
him
the
right
UFC's
now.
Like, hey, it's like the Rocky Mountain Cup that they have for RSL versus Colorado Rapids, where it's just fan-made. Can you just imagine if, like, the UFC's like, hey, stop handing these belts. These aren't it.
And they do it like the old, what was the hardcore belt in the WWE? Where it was just an old championship belt with, like, caution tape around it and mm-hmm. written, like, hardcore on it.
So good.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do that. He'll get his old championship belt or buy one from UFC.com and write Connor on it.
I would like it to be, like, more, like, Irish-themed. Like, maybe have, like, diagonal, like, Irish colors and Connor's name on it. And It's gonna be a good fight. I'm not that excited for it this time around. Regardless, we've got it.
Connor's already opened as a -100 favorite. I don't know why.
It's
closer than last time. I think it was a -400 before.
It's not bad. I mean, people think that he just got caught. I mean, it's tough. It's a tough fight for both of them.
He
really,
just got caught like 5-6 times. But at the first round, though, that first round. Oh my goodness. Talk to Dan Henderson about first rounds.
Another big reveal.
Brock Lesnar.
Dude, I already knew that what had happened, and I went back and watched the promo after, and it gave me chills. Except for I guess I didn't know how it was revealed, like when you guys were like, yeah, they just revealed it. So I went back and watched it, and the headline had said Lesnar revealed, and I'm watching, and I'm like, this is just Bones and Aldo and DC and like and Misha Tate's in here. Like
they did a good job.
And I was like, "There's no Brock Lesnar." And then I was like, "It's almost over." And then just, and then, "Do you see me now?" Yeah. I was like, "I don't even like Lesnar that much either." But I got chills. I was like, "Oh!" And then I got excited.
They did well. And
they're saying Brendan Schaub. That's what.
No.
That's what they're saying. It's Brendan Schaub.
No. Who's saying that?
People.
No. Are we gonna get banned for life from the UFC for this, Carson?
Yeah,
oh.
I got my ban already.
You already got your ban.
We're not
red ban. Trailer,
huh? What'd you say?
Red band.
I don't know what that is.
Those are the trailers for like Deadpool that can actually swear and stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like those.
Yeah. So, what's bigger news? Brock Lesnar coming back or Ariel Helwani getting a lifetime ban for announcing Brock Lesnar coming back?
Ariel Helwani getting a ban. It sets a precedence. Do you really want to see Lesnar after 4 years? We've never even heard that he's training.
And apparently, so there's a lot of rumors around it now, right? Because that's what the rumor mill starts. That's why he hasn't been present in the UFC or in the WWE for the last little while, because he's been training to come back. A lot of different things. And it would make sense if they set him up against Schaub, because I think he can beat Schaub very easily. The three names that we brought up immediately were Roy Nelson, which I don't really believe would happen. Mark Hunt. And
Dos Santos. Or he just got surgery though, so he wouldn't be ready. He wouldn't be ready in a month.
So Mark Hunt would have made the most sense, and I think Mark Hunt knocks him out cold.
Frank Mir would have been the best one. Obviously, we can't get that though. But that, I think the UFC really wanted that more than anything when they were getting this going.
So the weirdest part about this was, Dana White came out and adamantly said he was not coming back. That was the first one. Joe Rogan had not heard. When they played it afterwards, Joe Rogan was like, "Was that serious? Is he coming back?" And then Mike Goldberg said, "Yeah, he's coming back." And Joe Rogan said, "How are we supposed to talk about it if we don't know who he's fighting?" And Mike Goldberg goes, "It's Lesnar. You can talk about it without knowing." Like, it was interesting because Joe Rogan didn't know, and even Scholler, the PR guy for the UFC, said he had no idea.
The guy from the press conference? Uh-huh. That's what I was going to say. It's like, he's like, I can say for the first time ever, this news just broke for me. So it's funny, all of them knew or didn't know, and Ariel did.
I don't think they told Joe Rogan because he has his podcast, and I think they were worried about him potentially saying something. Like, they were trying to keep this hush-hush enough. So let's get into, like, the actual... So working at EA, there's a lot of things that we have to sign... disclosure agreements, non-disclosure agreements, NDAs. So a lot of the games that I work on, a lot of the anything that I help with, marketing, when we send out press releases, we actually give them what are called embargo dates. So let's say game reviews, right? We send out game reviews to IGN. Well, we tell IGN, you cannot release this game review until this day at this time. Mm-hmm. And so everyone tries to release their game reviews on the same day at the same time. And every so often you get some little blog that hears about it and decides not to, you know, trust the embargo or whatever it is and just do it. What I think happened is Ariel Helwani, who was part of the promotion for it, like they started talking about those type of things.
Was he part of the promotion?
Yeah, so when they were talking about 200, they had the USA Today MMA guy, the one with the really weird haircut. They had Ariel Helwani, and then they had the older guy from like the Sun Las Vegas, and they were talking about how big UFC 200 was going to be.
But did he actually say anything about Lesnar, though?
No.
So I don't think he knew from that. I feel like there's no NDA for that. The NDA would have been for probably, because legitimately, like, nobody on the inside knew. I think he was just commentating on normal UFC 200 stuff, unless somehow he was there.
And I'll have to see it again, because I only saw it once.
I'm watching it right now, by the way. I can't hear it, so I guess it's kind of a moot point.
Well, be careful, because it might be playing through our speakers.
It shouldn't. I'm not plugged in, and I'm on mute.
Oh, you're not plugged in. Okay, yeah. We'll have to watch it afterwards.
And that's the thing. So I don't know if there was an NDA that he broke. He has been playing both sides.
He's been playing major both sides. Almost irritatingly playing both sides. Where he talks about like, oh, I have a good relationship with the UFC. It's fine. I understand, whatever. And then he goes to a press conference and drills Dana White with like 10 questions that are...
That's what you get for kicking him off of Fox. I know that that's not necessarily the UFC, but like, it's just petty. Like, that's the thing, is it's like, I get it, but they're just being petty. Like, the whole thing is stupid.
But like they mentioned,
Life?
Sports Illustrated. There's a guy from Sports Illustrated that got a lifetime ban, and I think he got a ban because he announced the Strike Force
merger.
It's merger before he was supposed to. Whatever it was. Yeah. And so he got in a lot of trouble. And then there was what was the other one? Bleacher Report. And I don't know what he did to get himself in trouble. But apparently he also got himself in a bunch of trouble.
So this is the thing. Like, so Dana's always like bitching about like, you want me to ban these guys after the commission already banned them for drug use or whatever. He's like, I'm taking their livelihood. I'm not saying that they shouldn't come down hard on Ariel, and we don't know how many chances he's necessarily got, but I just feel like ban him for maybe like a year, but don't take the guy's livelihood. He has almost worked in tandem with the UFC, and he has promoted all your fighters whenever they haven't had a voice. Like John Jones, he's brought them on and done a very fair interview. Like almost in tandem, he's worked alongside of them. I'm not saying who's right, who's wrong.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think probably the UFC is right in this case. I just don't feel like the punishment fits the crime.
A lifetime ban definitely doesn't fit. I agree with that. It doesn't make any sense that he would get a lifetime ban for this.
And then Esther Lynn.
Yeah.
She's a photographer.
Yeah. It was basically, what do they call it? Shrapnel. Anyone that was close to him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We got escorted out with him. They lost their credentials.
Stupid.
And he was also tweeting at the fights a lot of the information that was coming out. Not that that matters. That's what the media does. It's a weird situation from start to finish. It doesn't make a ton of sense. There's got to be more to it. However, starting from the Rory McDonald, you know, contract debate to breaking Nate Diaz versus Connor 2 6 months ago before it was actually announced officially. But the hard part is that Nate Diaz went on a show and Nate Diaz was like, yeah, they're trying to get it together for 202. So it's not him. You know, Ariel Helwani wasn't the one that said it was going to happen at 202. It was Nate Diaz on his show that said it was going to happen at 202. So that doesn't make any sense.
Did you see... the other thing I was going to say, the Robin Black one, he got just ripped to shreds for having an opposing opinion saying that he essentially said that kind of Ariel was like a hack gossip columnist, kind of said that.
Nowhere near.
But no, yeah, 100%. And then that he said that analysts are taxi drivers and the gossip columnists are Uber drivers or something like that. And then people just ripped him apart and it like just started taking stabs at him for being a 50-year-old gothic wearing like. And he legitimately tried to message everybody back. He was very level-headed about everything. Like, I understand that you get angry about stuff, but like, can we still have a discussion about it? Holy hell.
Yeah. So that's the hard part about being any kind of celebrity status. People are going to try and take you out just because of something that you said. The different thing is analysts have a job that is different from something like this podcast, right? And each person, and I guess, I mean, he's saying taxi drivers and Uber drivers because both of them have their place. But you can't say taxi drivers are worse than Uber drivers when Uber drivers don't get insurance and Uber drivers, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of differences to it. And the fact is not everyone just wants breakdowns, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the breakdowns are awesome. And listening to Dan Hardy and all of the, you know, or even Robin Black, who gives great breakdowns, that's awesome. However,
I don't even know if he was saying it to slight him, really. Like, that's what was weird.
But he's not a gossip columnist. Ariel Helwani invites people on his show and has actual conversations either about their lives or their conversations, and it's 4 hours. If he was a gossip columnist, he would talk to those people on their own and then come out and be like, oh, I talked with so-and-so today, and this is what he said to me, which is completely different. Colin Coward, who works for Fox, who said, buy your tickets in September for Vegas. The Mayweather-Connor fight is going to happen.
That's the other thing.
That's way more gossip columnists than the whole world.
They're actually talking about the reason why he's protected now. They're saying that Cowherd is the shill for the UFC. And I see they as in the Redditors. They're saying that he's actually, the UFC's in his ear now, and they're using him to try to bait Nate into it and say, like, he's the one, and there's just no shred of evidence. And Ariel actually called him out and disavowed that. And he's like, there's no way that fight's happening. There's no way on the planet that fight's happening. And so they're actually saying that it's just...
Coward's in on it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's just... do you want that guy? Like, do we want to get our news from Colin Cowherd? Is that what we want now? Yeah, no.
We want someone like Ariel Helwani, who's been around for 6 years.
Ten years.
He's put all of his eggs in one basket to actually be involved in this sport, to know the fighters, where BJ Penn's like, you're the only show I'm going to go on, when John Jones will go on the show, when he gets kicked off of Fox and he has four out of like the, he had like five champs on, let's say he had John Jones, he had DC, he had DJ, he had, I think, Dominic Cruz or Uriah Faber that same day, he got booted from Fox, he had all of these people there to support him.
And you can tell that people don't like Nate doesn't like to do the interviews with people like that from Fox. I mean, it wasn't Colin, it was the other two. I don't know their names, but he wanted to hit them. Yeah. He said, like, it's just
the one that he thought was Chael Sonnen, and then it wasn't Chael Sonnen.
Well, yeah, and then even when he was in with him, you could just tell that he wasn't having like a good time per se. He was just putting on a show, and like people don't do that. Like Ariel gives them a platform to be honest, be themselves, and I hope, and I don't know how it works. I'd like to talk to Sean about it. And you actually brought up a good point when we were talking about it. Does that mean that the UFC can ban their fighters from being on his show? As contracted fighters, you can't tell them where to be and when.
Private contractors.
Private contractors, thank you. You can't tell them where to be and when. I hope that somehow there's not some weird loophole that we don't know about. I hope that people can still go to his show. Because if not, he's done.
Yeah.
He's done. Like, that's it.
Where if they say, you will not go on MMA fighting, you will not talk to Ariel Helwani, and if you do, you'll be in breach of contract somehow by, what is it? Not collusion, but fraternizing with unwanted parties or whatever it might be. I mean, I'm sure that they could find something. I just don't think that they're going to let him in. I think that they'll still let him have his podcast.
I hope so. And when you brought that up, I was really hoping that was a thing, because I was worried about him just having his whole livelihood ruined because he can't have fighters on now.
And it might push more towards the Fighters Association, as weird as that sounds.
It's just, it's stupid, man. It's like, it's becoming less and less tenable for me to be like, follow the UFC. I know I just said that I think they were in the right, but I also don't necessarily think they should have done that. I just think it's stupid. I'm not saying don't ban him. I'm just saying don't ban him for life.
Well, they strong-armed him, too. Like, they went in and they escorted him out. they went in and found him. Like, what had he done between, like, just don't let him in to begin with. Like, hey, we showed up to the show and we realized that our credentials had been removed. They're not letting us in. Not, hey, they waited till the main event and then came and got us out of our seats and removed us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a completely different way of doing it. And the fact is, Ariel Helwani is now a martyr. Ariel Helwani will now be a beacon in the MMA community against the UFC. They've done it completely incorrect, and they should have done it on a smaller stage and done it way more secretive than being like, cool, it's right before the main event, let's get him out of here.
Did you hear what Shane Carwin said?
He was against Ariel Helwani, right?
Kind of. He said, so this is what he put on Reddit. He said, the other thing, that he was another one of people asking if he would take that fight, and he said that he would.
Yeah.
And then the other one that they're talking about, which we didn't even think about, the UFC's been in contacts with him, and he's never fought for the UFC before.
Fedor. And that was the big one that they were supposed to do originally. Oh!
He said, so this is what Shane said. He said, well, you guys have to realize he plays both sides of the fence. Spoon feed the strike force one-on-one, not a controversial question in the bunch. If part of your job is being a guest at an event and reporting it, you should not be outing their news before they do. If a reporter was invited by to Twitter HQ to be part of an announcement and you scoop them, you can expect the invite to be rejected.
Yep.
It is a free country and you can report on whatever you want, but not as a guest. In media companies, it happens all the time.
Yep.
You get the news, you're briefed on the news and told to sit on the news. They call it embargo. A lot of times you have to wait and lead the outlet to release the news. He needs to learn to play better in the sandbox, but we'll be back.
100%. And like I said, things get embargoed all of the time. And if you are a big site and you don't fulfill that embargo, you are then cut off and you are no longer going to get that media news.
I just feel like, fine, don't give him news, you know? But like, I just, again, ban him from events, but it doesn't have to be life. Life is crazy, man. Like, that absolute. You could even leave it like an ambiguous end. Like, well, we'll see what happens. Like, you're banned until further notice. You know, it's like, you don't have to put a lifetime ban. And Esther Lynn, she's a photographer. Like, that's the, I had to look that up to see who that is. Like, what did she do? Oh, she was just part of MMA fighting and is just a photographer. From what I understand, got a life ban too. She didn't break anything.
Yeah. Anyone that was with him. New York Rec didn't.
I guess we should talk about some, I mean, that, do you have anything else to say about the Ariel thing?
I believe fully what Shane Carwin said. He plays both sides, and most likely he was told not to release something, and he did. But I also agree with you. Lifetime ban? No, not a lifetime ban. However, he needed a slap on the wrist because I think he was trying to get back to the UFC for cutting him.
The UFC is just unrecognizable to what I got into, though. Cutting Stitch for the Reebok thing.
Yeah.
Not letting some guy carry in Union Jack because it has tweets on it doesn't meet the...
It's starting to sound like a real sport.
I hate it. It's not. That's the exact opposite reason why I started. Like, I
love...
Look
at Allen Iverson when he started coming in dressing like a G from, you know, from the ghetto, which was his thing. That's what he did. That's how he looked. That's how he wanted to dress. All of a sudden, the NBA was like, cool, everyone's got to start wearing suits.
I don't know. Like, that's not the reason I got into MMA. I got into MMA because Wild West mentality. Like, you did have these, you had these Mavericks, you had these guys that had a lot of personality. At the same time, you got to see a high level of practitioners in the sport. And it's higher now, but the individuality, which you need as a fighter to promote yourself, yeah, all of that's, it's gone. Like, I mean, everybody knows Bisbing's, he's British. He doesn't need to carry out a Union Jack, but he wanted to. It's his country.
And it's a country that supported him his entire career.
Yeah, and it's not a country that's well represented. He's the first champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, let him have that, man. Like, I just, it's shitty. The other thing I was going to say is, did you think 3 years ago, or not even 3 years ago, did you think, like, a year ago, we'd have more European champions than Brazilians?
No.
Can you believe that?
Good.
Oh, my gosh.
Brazil needs to kick it in the butt. They need to figure out what they're doing wrong, and they need to fix it. And it's very interesting to me how many, and this doesn't matter, and this can be completely taken out of context, but how many Caucasian champions we have, where in most other sports, Caucasians don't do well.
That's not true.
Hockey?
Soccer?
I guess soccer. But, I mean, even then, they're Portuguese or Brazilian, or I mean, they still do very well. There's so many leagues in soccer.
But, I mean, that's why I don't think it's really a race thing, though. Like, the two best right now are not.
One, and it shouldn't be. And that was more of an observation than anything else, where football and basketball are very much an African-American dominant sport. And good, they're the best ones. And the best ones should succeed. It's just very interesting to me that the UFC, where it was all Brazilian to begin with, now is even, you know, UK, Europe, and in the U.S.,
well, it's always been U.S., Canada, and Brazil.
And I'm just looking
Canada hasn't had a champion.
Rory McDonald and Stephen Thompson right now, too. GSP.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, Canada hasn't had a champion in a minute. Let me think.
No. Since GSP.
Since GSP.
Yeah, that's it.
And Brazil's only got one now in RDA.
Mm-hmm.
And Europe, I mean, that's not fair to say Brazil versus Europe, but, I mean, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
And then Brazil's got, or
Europe's
got three. Joanna.
Oh, I forgot.
Connor,
yeah.
And now Bisping.
Yep.
It's rough.
It's hard out there for the Brazilians.
Americans are now number one.
So let's talk three fights here, and I'm only going to talk about three fights because the first one's got O'Connell, who's from here. I think he loses.
Let's hope.
It's a boss. Apparently, there's some bad blood. Cerrone Cote, do you really care who wins that fight?
Cerrone Cote? Cerrone's up there as my favorite fighters. I hope Cerrone wins. 170 again?
Yeah. Yeah. So Cote's been around for forever. He was actually on the Ultimate Fighter season 4, the comeback season. Fought Anderson Silva. Lost. Blew his knee out. Came back. He just lost to Gerard Mousasi pretty dominantly. So we'll see how Cerrone does at 170. It might be a size thing. And Cote doesn't really seem to be a fast starter, and neither is Cerrone. So maybe Cote comes out and starts fast and can actually win it. I think I'm giving it to Cerrone just because of the difference in age, difference in quickness, and all of those things based around age, where Cerrone, I think, I give him the...
I think he's probably a higher technically, too. Like, he's strong everywhere.
Yeah.
And then Cote's no slouch, but, like... The fight can go anywhere for Cerrone. He's good on his back. He's good on top. He's good on the feet.
Like, Cote just hasn't seemed to care in a long time, and that's my biggest thing with Cote. He just seems like he's there to collect a paycheck. So, and then the biggest fight in the next long time: Rory McDonald, Stephen Thompson.
I love it.
Who do you got?
I have Rory.
Okay,
100.
So I'm gonna take Thompson. What do we want to bet on it?
Your dog.
No, you can't have my dog.
You can have mine if I lose.
Something we can film on the cast.
you giving me your dog. If you film that.
My wife would be so angry.
Just crying. Your wife right, just chilts right here, yeah. Just crying.
You can visit him anytime you want. Hey, labs have separation anxiety. We can't do that.
He doesn't like you guys that much. He likes me more. Every time I come in the door, he just rushes me.
So how does McDonald win? Decision, knockout, submission?
I think it's decision.
McDonald hasn't been knocked out, right?
Yeah, well, if you count the Robbie Lawler a knockout, I think that was just crumpling to pain.
Yeah,
but
that wasn't a TKO. He wasn't.
Well, it was a TKO.
It's all right. It wasn't a KO.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't out.
He might have also got dazed though, because it might have been like the Mir thing.
Knockout.
Well, where Mir's out on his back and he's looking up, but. Like it might have just been pure pain because he took that last shot to the nose and just like fell back.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but other than that,
taste the pain. I've got it right here. So he lost to Robbie. Since then, he's basically crushed it. He beat Damian Maia. I gotta go watch that because I want to see how he did it. Carlos Condit, it was decision, and then it just goes to Mike Goyman. So mm-hmm. He's lost twice, it looks like.
He's my favorite Canadian. I love him.
Other than the fact that he's just a weird ass.
I love that about him. I love that he's just like, he is just...
18-3, so I don't know what his first loss was. But I didn't finish him. It had to have been a decision. I know he lost to Condit. I know he lost to Lawler. And I'm not sure who else he
did. Did he have his baby?
Or is that he must have. because I think it was before the fight that he was going to actually have his baby. And then his contract's up after this. I don't see him leaving the UFC, but he's definitely smart enough to go out there and make him pay for him. And they should. If he beats Stephen Thompson, he's going to get a title shot. And Tyrone Woodley could easily beat Robbie Lawler just based on a lot of different things, and we can get into that later. I'll take Stephen Thompson. But I think we need to think of a bet so we can actually do
it. When is it? When's the fight?
This week. It's the 18th, I think.
So we got 2 weeks?
I believe so.
Let's set it up for next week. We'll get a bet.
Yeah, we'll get a bet going. Oh, is it in 2 weeks? Yeah, because it's the 3rd. So yes, we have a week off, and then we have that card. So we'll think of some ridiculous bet that we can get going, and then we'll actually film it.
Deal. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. There's some other stuff I want to talk about. We can save it for next week, though. How long did we go?
If it is a down week, I didn't know it was a down week next week. For some random reason, I thought the fight card was next week. So
I wanted to talk about, we can talk about this next week, 135. Cruz was saying that that division's blowing up, and then started rattling off names. So. And I was just like, that division is is strong.
Looking good.
It's the first time that a division's had like a dominant champion, and it's actually been better. So I was just thinking, like, 185 has gotten better since Silva left, and you saw how good that division actually is.
I'm really excited. Sousa, Romero, Bisping, Rockhold.
Same thing with 145. Like, that division is also now really great. So, like, 135 is the first time that the dominant champ came back, and it's more interesting. That's different circumstances. He's been gone for 3 years, 4 years.
Well, because Henan Barao just seemed to crush everyone for such a long time, and then he lost. And
well, it wasn't even for that long. He was like a year and a half, 2 years.
It was like three or four fights.
Was it? Anyways, we'll talk about that next week. Yeah. We'll get some other topics since it's a down week. We'll maybe watch the McDonald Maya fight.
Yeah.
Watch some Fight Pass things.
Went back and watched some of the old Pride fights and was so let down. But we can talk about that next week.
Yeah.
So let down. But thanks again, guys, for tuning in. We really appreciate everybody that listens. That was a kiss from Carson.
I love you.
Please subscribe on Buzzsprout, iTunes, whatever, however you listen to an actual podcast. We're also on YouTube, so you can see our beautiful mugs usually.
And this loud shirt.
And the pink.
My soccer championship shirt.
Get online to see his sweet pink
Save a Breast
soccer shirt.
Save a breast.
Just one.
No double mastectomies, only single mastectomies.
Only one, just like for guys. You can remove one testicle and they'll still be fine. And thanks again always for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.